Welcome to In the Seams, a podcast by Broken and Mended. And now your host, David Heflin.
Well, hello and welcome back to In the Seams. I'm just actually going to be speaking to you for a brief moment. The episode that we're going to be sharing with you is already been recorded. It was part of a conference called the Diamonds Conference 2024. It was created and hosted by Sarah Willoughby and had a whole lot of speakers. I think probably I needed to go back and count, but certainly over 20 different sessions and panels and everything that was recorded at that event. And I got permission from Sarah to share my recording, and then also I'm going to share Timothy Gunnell's recording, whom you've heard from before on this podcast, but he's on the board and will sometimes be a host or co-host of In the Seams. And so I'm going to be sharing that. I'm going to be sharing his next week and sharing mine this week. And so my session there was called Embracing a Different Future, and deals with the idea of how do we get unstuck from the life that we had in the past before chronic illness and move into the life that is still possible without being perpetually stuck in between. And so it's something I've seen a lot of people with chronic illness struggle with. So I wanted to address it particularly in my conference or my session in the conference. It's about 30 minutes long. And so in just a moment, you will hear that. I'm going to include in the show notes, though, a link to the All Access Pass for the Diamonds Conference. And there you can get all the sessions. And I believe it's $54, and you get a lifetime access for all of that. The event is free while it's happening, but after the fact, they sell the All Access Pass. As I said, I got permission to use my conference and Tim's conference to use in our podcast, but I also want to provide a plug for the rest of the sessions as well. They're all great, and some of them may hit you in a very significant and special way with where you are on your journey. In fact, the name of the conference this year, the theme was journeying. Sorry, it's hard for me to say that word right, but going on a journey, basically, and how we're all on some stage of that journey. So without further ado, I'm going to just let the podcast play, or I'm sorry, the session for my podcast play, and you'll hear what I had to say then. Visit us at brokenandmended.org. If you want to partner with us, you know, financially, we appreciate that. If you can't, that's okay. These resources are free. And so you can find this podcast, you've already found it if you're listening to it, but another place you can find it is brokenandmended.org. So thank you for taking the time to be with us today. And we do have a plan for more regular recordings in the future. It will be two this month and then one every month through November. Okay, that's all for now. And I hope you are blessed by this session.
Welcome back, everyone, to Diamonds 2024. We are so glad that you're here. Yesterday was a full day already, and today we have many more sessions to come. We're going to kick off today with David Heflin from Broken and Mended speaking about embracing a different future. Last night we ended the night with talking about planning for the future when you're chronically ill and how you really can't, and just the need to rely on God in that. So I'm excited to hear from David, but a couple notes first. If you haven't grabbed your study guide, you can do that for free on your favorite ebook platform, or you can grab the paperback copy on Amazon if you, like me, like to write in your books. Don't come at me. I know you're not all on board with that. You can also visit the merch shop or enter the giveaway. We're going to be giving away some items that David has donated at the end of this session. So make sure that you have also entered that. You can find the link in the emails that you've been receiving from us. But David is amazing. I have so much respect for him, and I'm so excited to hear from him. So welcome, David.
Yes, thank you so much, Sarah, and I'm so glad to be with you this morning, or morning for most of you. I understand we may have some people in other places as far away as Kenya and Uganda that may join us, and of course it would be in the evening for them. But I'm very glad to be back with you, whatever time it happens to be for you. Hope that if you're a little bit on the West Coast and it's a little bit early, I hope that you're able to get your coffee and wake up a little bit, together. This is my second time to get to speak at Diamonds Conference. I got to speak last summer in a smaller version of this event, and so I'm very thankful and honored to be asked to speak again.
And certainly I've been praying that what I have to say today, it's not so much just that, oh, it was a good session, but something that could be meaningful that you could keep with you that helps you, you know, along your journey. And I'll share a little bit of my story in the course of my talk today. If you have the study guide, I'm basically following the outline that's there and kind of expounding upon each part. I was impressed yesterday when Tim Gunnels had slides in his live presentation. I didn't know I could do that. So he told me how to do that for the future, but it was a little late in the game for me. And so I thought, well, that'd be kind of nice just as a visual cue about where we happen to be discussing. But in any case, if you have the study guide, you can follow along. And hope, if you don't have that, hopefully you can still kind of follow where we're going with this. But we're going to be talking about embracing a different future. By different, I mean different than the one that we thought we were going to be living. So pain isn't the worst thing that can happen to you unless it never stops. Now, I asked one of my support groups to respond to that statement recently. And I kind of figured how they might respond. And most of them responded that the loss of a relationship with God is greater than never-ending pain, which of course is true. But if you think about the implications of that statement at face value, pain isn't the worst thing that can happen to you unless it never stops. Well, that would have to include, if it literally never stopped, meaning not even after this life, then of course we would recognize that as separation from God. And as when we became followers of Christ, when we put our trust in Christ, we commit ourselves to the belief that we will one day enjoy a life with God and without pain and suffering forever. So at least we have that comfort of knowing that one day it will stop. Relative to our time in this life, though, chronic pain is pain that does not resolve, and it may not resolve for the duration of this life. We have all experienced that sudden and excruciating pain that lasts only a moment, or maybe at least it gradually dissipates. What we could have never prepared for, though, and we don't even think about right before it happens, is for pain that not only interrupts us, our lives, but it never leaves us. I did not know. I was on a long journey with pain when I first injured my hips in Taekwondo drills in 2011. And even after further tests revealed that I was going to need surgery, ultimately on both hips, my attitude really was, well, good. We know what the problem is. We can get that fixed and I can get on the road to recovery. In other words, I could get my old life back. But instead, what happened was my body revolted against the surgery, awakening the underlying disease called ankylosing spondylitis, which is a painful inflammatory arthritic disease that will fuse your joints if left untreated, starting with your spine. And even with treatment, joint damage is likely and pain is guaranteed. And later, this inflammatory disease would attack my digestive system. And it's got its own name. You will recognize it maybe more than the ankylosing spondylitis. It's called Crohn's. But they share in common inflammation that is caused by an over-aggressive immune system. My life would never be the same. And I was realizing this, 2011 is when I hurt my hips. So by 2013, I was beginning to recognize that this was going to be something for the long haul. At the time when this all started, I was taking Taekwondo with my sons, and I had hoped to get my black belt. And the reason why I wanted to do that is really it was fulfilling what had once been a childhood dream of mine, a childhood quest. I had almost done it when I was a teenager, and I kind of regretted dropping out, and I got one belt away from that. And so I was starting over as a white belt, but I was hoping to complete that quest from my childhood. And I even had a bigger dream than that. I wanted to get my black belt, move to a bigger city. I was in a small town at the time, but I wanted to start my own Taekwondo school. And I even had a dream beyond that, which was to use those contacts that I would make through that to plant a church, which was a dream I'd had in my adulthood to be able to go plant my own church, maybe even right there in the school. Now, I know that's kind of sounds funny. I mean, you go have sparring practice after you have church service or something. But so it was kind of a unique idea. But the idea was that, hey, we were going to get to know each other through the means of Taekwondo. And then I would hopefully get to share the gospel with people in that way. But, you know, pain is even more than the pain, isn't it? It's also what comes with the pain. I was never able to return to Taekwondo. That dream was crushed. It was hard to think about planning a church at all when all of my emotional and physical energy was going to medical appointments, doctor's appointments, procedures, surgeries in some cases. The financial impact was devastating as well. It ended all possibility of financial freedom that would allow for a risky move like that, you know, to leave a full-time job where I was a preacher and to move into, a time where it was a little uncertain to be able to plant a church. About 2016, so we're really 2015, 2016. So 4 or 5 years later from when it all started, it's really when the isolation and depression kicked in. No longer did I have the motivation to dream about the future or even the energy to live purposely in the present. Begin to ask some hard questions. What did faithfulness to God in this circumstance even mean? How could I connect with other faithful Christians that were going through the same thing? And of course, a question a lot of you have asked, how could any of this be good for anyone? You know, in 2016, I had no answers to these questions. My former life was not only canceled, it was eradicated. And I had no idea what to do next. So, learned some things in the process since then that I want to be able to share. And I'm going to talk about lamenting our losses as an important first step for us to be able to move forward. I imagine many of you can relate to my journey. Many people with chronic illness that I have talked to cannot see anything good that has come from their suffering, even in the moment, in the past, or anything to come in the future. And sometimes that's years or even decades after the chronic illness has started. And I'm not, by the way, I want you to know, if you're in that situation, I'm not at all questioning your faith. We all get stuck in certain situations in life, and certainly this is an understandable one where we could get stuck. But I want to at least try to plant the idea of the possibility that we can get unstuck and be able to move forward. I know from experience, it's not true that nothing good can come from suffering or from chronic illness or pain. You probably know people that could testify to that if you couldn't testify to it yourself. If I didn't have my own story to point to, I would certainly point to someone like Johnny Erickson Tada. Most of you know who she is, but if you don't, Google her name and you will be blessed by what you find. Her faithful suffering has now blessed millions of people. But when you are in limbo between an old life that you wanted and a new situation that you didn't, it is impossible to move forward with any sense of purpose in your life. And a lot of people refuse to accept that their chronic condition or their condition is chronic, and they're still trying to grasp a life that no longer exists. And you can't move forward if you are always looking backwards. I'm not saying that a person should immediately accept their situation the first time they hear the word chronic. I would encourage people to pray for healing, to get people to pray for healing for them. Certainly pursue your medical options. But most of us, I would guess most of us here, we've come to a point when we recognize that healing is not coming right now. However, if it is possible to get stuck in the past, it is also certainly possible to drive ahead without reckoning with our losses. And one day the impact of those losses will hit home when you least expect it. So this is kind of when you just try to ignore what has happened, try to move forward like nothing's really happened. And you may have people in your life that encourage that because they don't want to sit with you in your grief. They want you just to keep thinking positive. And so you never rightfully reckon with those losses. And that is a way of setting yourself up for trouble too. And so there's a better option. And it's certainly not one that I invented or anybody in this time has invented. It's the practice of lament, that we need to lament our losses before we can move forward into a new future. Lament is an ancient form of worship. And unfortunately, this has led to many people leaving it in the ancient past. Lament is crying out to God in such a way that we give full voice to our doubts and the emotions that we experience. But it is, and I'm going to quote Glenn Pemberton here, who is someone who has struggled mightily with chronic pain, but he's also an Old Testament scholar. I should have written down the name of the book that this comes from. It's a good book. It has to do with, I think, something like lamenting with the Psalms or something like that. But this is what he says in that book. But it is a structured, controlled language that by its methodical cadence helps restore a modicum of structure and time of disorientation. That's a pretty wordy quote, I realize. So I have my own way of simplifying it to say, in other words, lament is a God-given rope you can grab to pull you out of a free spin. Sadly, many Christians have given up the language of lament as either being outdated Old Testament language, which, by the way, it appears in the New Testament as well, or even worse, they see it as irreverent expressions of doubt. Yet the Psalms were the early hymn book for the, or were the, was the hymn book for the early church. It's what they used, and 40% of the Psalms are laments. We see Jesus lament. First of all, we see Jesus weep, and it wasn't necessarily a lament, but we see even when he knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, he still wept because of the sadness and the gravity of that moment and the sorrow of his friends. We see him lament over the fate of Jerusalem in Luke 19:32. We see Paul lament. I mean, Paul is talking the same book in which he wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always," the Philippians. And by the way, he was in prison when he wrote that. But he reflected on the fact that had Epaphroditus died in Philippians 2:27, that he would have experienced sorrow upon sorrow. So he says, "I was spared sorrow upon sorrow." So we see Paul lament. You know, I think what we need to recognize is that sometimes we come into rejoicing through the back door. In other words, we do not just enter through the front door of praise and thanksgiving, but the back door of suffering and sorrow, where we find the deeper joy of which Paul speaks. And sometimes we think we're too spiritual for lament. And church cultures often discourage true lament, but when people's suffering is ignored or diminished, it leads to more frustration or even shame for the sufferer. I would imagine some of you have experienced that in your church settings. You were not encouraged to lament. There was no recognition of lament as a form of worship in your church services. And if you try to speak out about your pain, you were just encouraged to rejoice in the Lord always or something to this effect. We need to make room for lament in our churches. Psalm 22 is a lament. By the way, Jesus quoted it, so he was lamenting from the cross. The opening line of that, you know well, my God, why have you forsaken me? I want to read, this was from the CSB, I'm reading from Psalm 22, 1 and 2. My God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far from my deliverance and from my words of groaning? My God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. By night, yet I have no rest. I bet it was a long time since you've heard anyone pray that in your church. I want you to also consider the words of Psalm 38, 3 through 8. This is from David, as is the first psalm I read from, I believe. There is no soundness in my body because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have flooded over my head. They are a burden too heavy for me to bear. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I am bent over and brought very low. All day long I go around in mourning. For my insides are full of burning pain, and there is no soundness in my body. I am faint and severely crushed. I groan because of the anguish of my heart. So David in that psalm seems to be connecting his suffering with his own sin and God's, you know, wrath against him. And I recognize that that is not the reason why most of us are going through what we're going through. Certainly, there are situations where a person can live a certain lifestyle and, you know, and it can contribute poorly to their health. So, you know, we recognize that. I don't know why David was feeling the way that he was when he wrote this. But the point is that whatever it was, David felt that way. David felt that he was being punished because of what he was experiencing, apparently in a physical way. And so he brings that concern and those feelings before God in the form of lament. And mainly I read from that psalm because of what he describes in terms of his symptoms. You know, he's got burning pain in the inside. He's he says that he is faint and severely crushed. And so, yes, some of this could be figurative language, but it really does seem like David's describing some physical suffering here. And in that case, I think it's something that we can relate to, and we see it acknowledged in the scriptures. You know, we have so much to lament: the loss of dreams, financial control, the loss of time, the loss of relationships. Many of us have been through that. The loss of key family moments and memories, the loss of mental and emotional health. And this cannot just be passed over with a glib, "all things work together for good" quote from the Bible. We have to acknowledge them. We need time to grieve and lament our losses before God. My encouragement is to spend time in lament in the lament Psalms. There are other places you can go, Book of Lamentations, for example, but certainly spend time in the Psalms. Lament to a trusted friend, someone that will listen to you, someone that will let you say what you're feeling. And I want to encourage you to write out your lament. There's power in externalizing what you're going through. And when you're writing that out, you're directing it toward God, but you're also seeing it in a different way when you externalize it. And I think writing it out is a great way to do that. For me, by the way, if it's stressful to write it with a pen because you have bad handwriting, because I do, well, then type it out. So same thing. But I think that it can be very powerful to do that. So moving into the second aspect of the talk today, and really to speak about something that is greater than our losses. Before you can move forward into a new future, not only do you need to lament your losses, but you need one core conviction about what is the greatest value in your life. So Paul had a pretty good past life, at least he thought, before he became a Christian. And for becoming a Christian, he became a hard, suffering missionary, and it cost him pretty much all of his worldly benefits that he had in his old life. And it ultimately cost him his life. But here's what he had to say about that. So I'm reading from one of his really famous passages in Philippians 3, 7 through 14. "But everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them as dung, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. My goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection in the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. Not that I have already reached the goal or am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it because also I have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus." I know, you know, in the reading I just did from the CSB, you hear the word dung, and that can be a little bit jarring. And some translations have substituted a word like rubbish. But dung is what the word means. And that's what Paul thinks of his prior life before knowing Christ. And if you do not believe that knowing Christ is of the greatest value, the most valuable pursuit in life, then you will not be able to share in the fellowship. Well, let me back up. You will not even want to share in the fellowship of his sufferings and being conformed to his death. I mean, everyone wants the part where he says, you know, I want to experience the power of his resurrection. But those other parts, sharing his sufferings and being conformed to his death, who wants that by their own natural desire? Probably none of us. And so we have to believe in a greater value that surpasses everything else, that knowing Jesus Christ is more important than even my own comfort or my health. Because otherwise, avoiding suffering at any cost becomes life's goal, and knowing Christ becomes meaningless. And so I know there are many here that are listening today who will tell you with conviction that they know Christ better because of what they have experienced in their suffering. And if we are stuck holding on to a life that can no longer be, and we're missing the opportunity to know Christ in a deeper way, I think sometimes one of the things we have to do is to have a funeral for our old life. That's kind of the idea of dying with Christ, right? So sort of using that in a different way. But I want to suggest something here to you, a way of saying goodbye to our old life, and so that we can live the one that God has put before us, painful though it may be. And so one thing I did this by writing a letter to my old life. So I'm going to read mine to you. You might try something like this. To my life before chronic pain and illness, I liked our life. In fact, in some ways, I loved it. I was excited to explore the possibilities in my healthy body. In fact, before my life was irrevocably changed, I was the fittest I had ever been as an adult. I don't know if I would have remained a runner, but I was absolutely on board with a life of Taekwondo. I believed that martial arts not only connected my childhood with my present life as a father, but I believed it would be central to my ministry career. Taekwondo was the connecting point to a future church planning effort that I had dreamed about for a long time. Our financial situation wasn't perfect, but there was a way out of debt, and we were making progress. That light at the end of the tunnel became a bone-jarring dead end. I believe I may be out of debt one day, but it will take decades longer than I expected. My life with my wife and kids was the most beautiful part of my life. We had our whole future ahead of us. Anything seemed possible for us, but it was the simple things I missed out on. Playing catch with my boys, going on to achieve new successes together in Taekwondo, taking my daughter to whatever activity she wanted to be involved in, dates out with my wife and vacations with my family, where never a thought of pain entered my mind. I will miss my life with relatively few mental health struggles. What was life like before pain entered into nearly every moment of my life? How did I keep depression in check? Or how do I keep depression in check? How can I stay optimistic for the future when it looks nothing like what I had imagined? But my life did not end when I lost you. The life I imagined to chronic illness and pain. God's call on my life did not end when you were uprooted from my life. I have to move on with a very different looking kind of life. I honor you as the life that might have been, but I can't hold on to you any longer. God has given me a different path to walk, and saying goodbye to you is the only way I can walk it. I won't forget you, but I have to see things differently now. One day in the resurrected life, my body will be healed and made immortal. My debts completely erased, and my relationships will know nothing but pure joy. But until that day, I don't want to miss out any longer on a single blessing God wants to give to me. So goodbye for now. I know what I lost. I need to discover what I can gain. With warm regards, David Heflin. So I'm not going to spend much time on this last part called the better life, because I don't know what that looks like for you. It'll look different for each person. My main focus in this talk, as we get ready to close, has been to convince you that you don't have to remain stuck. You can lament your losses and embrace the greater pursuit of knowing Jesus. You can move forward into your future with that focus and surrender to Jesus so that he may use everything in your life to help you know him more, which results in even greater glory to him. My daughter recently interviewed me for a class project, and she interviewed me about chronic illness. And so I thought that was a cool class project, and it was good for her to hear more of my story and to be able to share that with others. Out of the interview questions, I found one to be the most interesting. And she asked the question, if you could go back in time and have never had chronic illness, would you? So that's an interesting question. And had that question been posed to me early on in my journey, maybe even for several years into my journey, of course, the answer would have been yes, I would go back and erase all this. I don't want to go through it. I would choose my health. But for where I am today, I acknowledge that God has deepened my faith. He has made me a more empathetic minister to others. And I know Broken and Mended, the nonprofit I started, is already blessing thousands of people. And I truly believe that we're just getting started. How could I simply just erase all that? And I know, by the way, that some of you have worse perspectives, or not perspectives, but situations than me. I know that because I minister to some of you through Broken and Mended who can barely leave bed. And it makes sense to me that if you were given the choice to be healthy, you would choose it. I wouldn't blame you at all. I probably would too if I were in your situation. But if that were possible for you, would you also wipe out the journey that you had been on to get there? And I don't think most of you would. You know, the better life is not the one we thought we were going to live. It is the one God wants us to live right now. That is the only life that can still make any difference to others. So I don't want you to give up on finding purpose in your painful life. Seek Christ above all and let him lead you into the purpose he has for you. And not in spite of your suffering, but in your suffering. I want to close with a prayer. And it's the same prayer that I put in the study guide, but I think it's an appropriate way for us to close right now. So thank you for allowing me to be with you this morning. I'm honored that you were here and honored that I got to be here with you. And well, if you want to check out more about Broken and Mended, website is brokenandmended.org. But let me just close in prayer. Father, we know that you love us and that you have proven your love in the giving of your Son on our behalf. But we confess that we struggle to trust you when things go wrong. We didn't want to have chronic illness and pain. We had very different lives in mind than the ones we are living now. And it is hard for us to let go of what we wanted enough to receive blessings you desire to give to us. This is hard for us, God, and we cannot do it without your Spirit. So please strengthen us so that we may trust you completely. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.